The sermon was given, was designed and given as a result of the fact that in Smiltina, they had asked me several times to speak on this subject. The congregation there in Smiltina is relatively new to keeping the Sabbath day holy. And the whole church began to do that. Now, it's quite a different situation for most of us. We all came into a church where people around us had been there longer and had been keeping the Sabbath day holy, and they had a lot of, there was a culture there about doing it. But if you're in a church where the whole church is now transformed in a moment of the twinkling of an eye into doing something that none of them had ever done before, they wanted to know about the specifics of how to keep the Sabbath day holy. So Robert Schultz, the pastor, had asked me to give them a sermon about that. Now, I started thinking we haven't spoken about specifics on keeping the Sabbath in a long time. I don't remember it, at least. And we have many people that have come into the church who have probably never heard a sermon on that regard. We have new people that are coming in now, and it might be beneficial to those people. We might have people who will watch our videos online and may learn something from it as well. I also thought, in relationship to the fact that we're coming up on the Days of Unleavened Bread, and we might ought to review how we're doing in regard to keeping the Sabbath day holy, in regard to the specifics that the Bible gives us. We all look for specifics. We want specifics. It's easier for us if we have specific. Just tell me what I need to do and I'll do it. God doesn't do that. God does not give us a litany entirely of every specific thing we need to do in regard to obeying any of His law. And in this particular case, we're talking about the Sabbath day. God leaves judgment in many instances up to us. There are reasons why God leaves judgment up to us and doesn't give us all of the specifics. And I look at the situation as being very similar to a child who is growing up. When the child is first born, you give them every last little thing that they need to do. And as they grow, you know, Jackson's now 7, soon be 8. Mason just turned 6 years old. They have to develop judgment on their own. And so that's the way it is with us as a begotten Christian. We are to exercise and learn. It is a learning experience. Learn judgment in relationship to all things. We're talking now about relationship to God's holy Sabbath and how it is we are to keep that Sabbath holy. In doing that, exercising judgment, we develop, I listed 3 things here. We develop spiritual growth. We grow spiritually by the process of considering what needs to be done and what ought to be done. If we're just told, there's no mental or spiritual development in the matter. We just are robots following a set of instructions. That's not what God wants us to be. That's the first thing. The second thing is it builds dedication. Now, if we just have only specifics, we don't we don't build the same dedication in the same way that we do if we are exercising judgment. The third thing I listed is that it is a reflection of faith. Faith is related to judgment. Jumping the track a little bit here, at least the Jews have, I think, jumped the track quite a lot, not just a little bit, but they have jumped the track in that they have tried to reduce all things to a certain set of specifics and a certain set of rules. And what I'm saying here is there are specifics, and the Bible will be, and we'll be talking about the specifics that are given to us in the Bible. But I don't want you to think that I'm advocating reducing everything to specifics, because I'm clearly trying to tell you that in advance here. I'm not doing that. And I'm also telling you that there is a group of people that have done that, and Christ was quite unhappy with it. But here's how far some of those things have gone, even today, in today's modern society, among the Jews. When Brian was in Jerusalem, when sundown came on Friday, go on the elevator, and the elevator was pre-programmed so that it would stop in the Hilton Hotel. It was a 20-some story hotel building in Jerusalem, I believe. The elevator was programmed to stop on every floor going up. Stop on the first floor, open the doors. Nobody wanted off on the first floor, maybe, but close the doors, go up to the second floor, open the doors, wait, close the doors, all the way to the top, and then all the way back down on every floor, opening and closing the doors, because it would be violating the Sabbath day, in particular, the requirement that says you should not strike a light or light a fire on the Sabbath day if you push the elevator button and it lit up. That's really reducing things to specifics. When he was down at the Temple Mount and looking into the courtyard, you can be up kind of on an elevated platform and look down into the courtyard, and Jews were down against the Temple Mount praying, and a tourist on the top took a picture with a flashbulb camera. The Jews came up and accosted the individual for breaking the Sabbath day by flashing the flashbulb. I had a report from a friend that some of you know, I'm sure, Thomas Garrett, when he lived in Massapequa, and one of his neighbors was a Jew, and his furnace went out on the Sabbath day. He wouldn't light his furnace on the Sabbath day, but he asked Tom to come over. He couldn't, and told Tom that his furnace went out. Well, it was a violation of the Sabbath for him to ask Tom to light his furnace. Well, Tom finally called on and offered to do it. And as long as Tom made the offer, it was okay. But those are examples of really reducing God's Sabbath day to a burden or to a set of particular specifics. The result of trying to reduce the keeping of the Sabbath day to a set of rules. God really wants us to grow and develop spiritually. So let's look at some of the specifics, though. We do have specifics. So what I want to do now is look at specifics. And I'll be talking about principles as well as specifics, but out of the principles grow specifics. And I can't give you all specifics, but I can give you some principles to help you judge those specifics. And again, looking at this in relationship to how are we doing as we approach the days of unleavened bread? Do I have leaven in my life in regard to this that I need to get out? Because the leaven is supposed to be out before the start of the days of unleavened bread. Now here's the really, I think, to me, the really big principle in regard to the Sabbath day. And I've talked about this quite a lot, so I won't dwell on it too long, but I just want to emphasize this is a big part of the principle, a big part of the Sabbath principle, even though we're talking about specifics here, and this is one of the two great general principles I'll be talking about in this sermon. God has ordained 7,000 years for human history. The seven-day week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, is prophetic. The weekly cycle itself is prophetic. And God established the last day of the week as a prototypical example of what ultimately will come at the end of 6,000 years. It will be a period of time which is holy, which represents the ultimate coming of God's kingdom at the end of 6,000 years of mankind's living on the earth. Peter says that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Much misunderstood scripture. I call it sometimes Peter's riddle. But here's what Peter says. Beloved, do not be ignorant of this one thing. There's one thing he's saying. Don't be ignorant of it. If you want to put it into the context of what he's talking about, it's really particularly interesting to do that. I won't do that now at this time, but it is an important context. It's an important part of what he's saying. Do not be ignorant of this one thing. So he's singularly picking out one thing he doesn't want people to be ignorant about. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Now, he's talking about the weekly cycle when he says that. One day, each of the days, represents 1,000 years. There's 7,000 years in a week. You know, there's 7 days in a week in God's plan, which he's saying each day represents 1,000 years. There are 7,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. So he says, that's the one thing I don't want you to be ignorant of. Now, when we come to keep the Sabbath every week, we are therefore prophesying and demonstrating for our own selves and for our own faith and the development spiritually that we get from doing that. We are demonstrating, prophesying, that God's kingdom is going to come at the end of 6,000 years. And that is the reason why it is so relevant to God and so important to God that we keep it on the seventh day of the week. Don't be ignorant of that one thing. It's a great principle. When we keep the Sabbath day, we are prophetically showing the coming of God's kingdom. So here's the point in that. In keeping God's Sabbath day, we ought to keep it in such a way that we picture properly what the kingdom of God will be like. If we are doing things which will not be appropriate in the kingdom of God, then we are profaning the Sabbath day and not picturing it properly or displaying it as a proper example. But our keeping of the Sabbath day is an example that ultimately God's kingdom is coming. And it's an example for us. It's an example for those people who are in the church. Yet, it isn't just for us, and it isn't just for the people who are in God's church. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Now here Christ is speaking to his disciples not long before the day of Pentecost, after he has been crucified and he's about to disappear into the heavens. He's leaving them this one instruction. He says, you will receive, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He's talking about the day of Pentecost and the fact that God's Holy Spirit was going to be disseminated particularly upon them on that day. And this is what I think is relevant in relationship to how we keep the Sabbath, the specifics, the behavior that we exemplify when we keep the Sabbath day. You shall be witnesses. You know, you are God's witness about the coming of His Sabbath, of His ultimate Sabbath day, which is the kingdom of God. You are witnessing to it every week when you keep it. You don't know who may see it and who may not see it, but you are prophetically performing a witness about the coming of God's kingdom. So if you're going to faithfully perform that witness, what you do and what you don't do on that day should be appropriate to picture what God's kingdom will be like. You shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And I feel kind of like right now like I'm in an uttermost part of the earth. But that is important. And by the way, you're keeping the Sabbath day right now, but the Sabbath day was over for me 2.5 hours ago. So that is what we are to do specifically. This is a great principle. It isn't maybe what we'd like to have as far as rules about exactly what to do and exactly what not to do. But it is about the fact that everything that we do should be picturing what we are prophesying about. And we are in our behavior, without opening our mouths, we are prophesying about the coming of God's kingdom. And our behavior should reflect what that kingdom will be like. Moving on, I'd like to look at, there are a lot of specifics given to us here in these several verses of Scripture found in Exodus chapter 20. Starting in verse 8, the commandment of God. There's a lot of specific information given to us here about what we are to do and how we are to keep the Sabbath day. And we may sort of bleed away from that. We may let that fall away from us. Sometime we might have a great dedication to doing it, but as time has a way of eroding away our resolve, then maybe we don't do it to the same level of dedication that we did once and we should do anyway. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now we're getting into some very important specifics. The one thing that first comes to my mind is the time of the Sabbath day. When does the Sabbath day start? When does it conclude? That's a very specific matter. And it is saying that we are this period of time from the beginning of the Sabbath day until the end of the Sabbath day. we are to keep that particular period of time holy. That time period, you go back to the book of Genesis, and you go to the traditions that have always been kept, is sundown to sundown. Now, there are some people, who are keeping the Sabbath at least on a weekly basis, who think they can vary that. You know, they may decide to, from time to time, keep the Sabbath day from sundown to sundown. Other times they may decide that, and it's their decision, and they can vary it from week to week, however they want to do it, depending on what's convenient and what isn't. They may decide to keep sundown on the Sabbath day from, not from sundown to sundown, but from midnight to midnight. And then at other times they may decide to keep it from sunrise to sunrise. So they have these ways of sort of getting around it depending on what the needs of the moment are, or what the things that they would like to do of the moment are. But it says, keep the Sabbath day holy. And that's the specifics of that. The Sabbath is from sundown to sundown. Now, it tells us here something in the very first word. Remember. Now, that's a specific instruction about what we are to be doing on the Sabbath day. It's an important part of keeping the Sabbath day holy. Memory is involved. We are to focus on what it is that is to be remembered while we are keeping the Sabbath day. And there is something very specific it tells us a little bit later on here in these scriptures about what is to be remembered. And so as we come to keeping the Sabbath day, we should have that in our mind, and we should remember it, and we should always be cognizant of it every week when we keep the Sabbath day. Memory is important, and memory is involved. We'll get a little bit more to that further down in the scripture. Now, the next thing that I want to point out here is it says keep. What does it mean when it says keep? Does it mean make or decide or you determine for yourself what is and what isn't? No, it says keep. And the implication is it has already been determined what it is that is to be holy. And you keep that thing. You don't have it within your prerogative to make the determination yourself about what is and what isn't holy, when it should be, when it shouldn't be. And of course, we've encountered that from many people who sat in our midst in times gone by. They came to some point that they thought, well, we can vote to determine which day we're going to keep. After all, it really doesn't matter as long as we keep one day holy. God has sanctified a particular day. And I hope you understand that He sanctified that particular day because there is a prophetic event which is playing out. It's the great prophetic event, really, that is playing out in the history of mankind over 7,000 years. And there's only one millennia that is holy. And God predetermined which millennia it is. He set up the keeping of the Sabbath day and the weekly cycle to prophesy that event. Now he said, you keep it. You keep it. You don't have any options in that regard. God has already determined it. Now let's keep going down a little bit further here in the scripture. And it tells us then how it is. It says, keep it holy. Holy. So we can think a little bit about what it means to keep it holy. And as Ron Dart used to say, there was a time when he was sitting in an office with some people from Jehovah's Witnesses, and they asked him what it was that he believed. And I don't know if he probably knew something about the beliefs of the Jehovah's Witnesses, but he says, well, we believe in keeping the Sabbath day holy. And they said, oh, well, we believe in keeping every day holy unto our God. How is it that we're to keep it holy? Verse 9. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. And if you keep every day holy, then the question was, when do you work? Because it's a very important specific about keeping the Sabbath day here. You are not to work. 6 days you have to do your work. The Sabbath day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. Jehovah's Witnesses that he was talking to at the time hadn't really focused on the fact that if they were working, they couldn't be keeping the time holy, because how you keep the time holy is first and foremost described here in this verse of Scripture, Exodus 20 and verse 10. In it you shall not do any work. You, then it goes on to say the responsibility is upon the head of the household. You shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. So there's a level of responsibility for seeing that everybody that was associated with the household of the head of the household was also observing the Sabbath day to the extent that was feasible. Now I know that there are many situations where this isn't really possible as we live in a society today. You know, particularly in many cases, women don't have the authority in their family, and the husband is not willing to keep the Sabbath, and so it's a divided household. And you may have those kind of divided situations, and you may, as a result, find it necessary to do as it is necessary and not as you might like to do. But that was the situation when this was written. And here's what you are to remember. We started out with the very first word in chapter 20, verse 8, remember. Now, what is it we are to be remembering? This is a very important specific about how it is we are to keep God's Sabbath day. We are to spend time meditating and thinking about the fact that's given to us here in verse 11. It is a memorial of creation. And creation is ongoing, isn't it? Creation isn't completed until the end of the 7,000 years. But it started long ago. And we are to reflect back, remember back to to the time that the initial creation began. In 6 days, the Lord made the heaven and earth. This is what you're to remember. Remember it. The sea and all that is in them. And he rested on the seventh day. Wherefore, as a result, this flows from, here's what you may conclude from that. This is what you should be thinking about as you remember. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Not some other day that you may vote on and choose to observe. Specific here, if we're going to keep the Sabbath day holy, a very important part, very important specific in doing that is what we are instructed to do in Exodus chapter 16. It is the preparation day. When Friday rolls around, we are to understand that we are to be preparing for the Sabbath day. If we're going to keep the Sabbath day properly, it begins with proper preparation. If we don't prepare properly, we end up not keeping the Sabbath day holy. Now, this is a matter to really think about. As we approach the days of unleavened bread, and as we prepare our lives for taking the Passover, and we think about the leaven that we may need to get out of our lives, are we properly preparing for the Sabbath day every week? And I bet you every one of us have room to improve in that regard. Exodus chapter 16, verse 22. Now, here's the situation. God set the circumstance up that for 6 days, the people were to go out and collect manna, their food, for being able to eat. And then, following the collection of that food for the 6 days, they were not to go out on the Sabbath day, establishing the habit of keeping the Sabbath day holy. But here an event occurred. It came to pass on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. All of the congregation came and told Moses. Moses said to them, "This is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today. Seethe that which you will seethe. That which remains over lay up for you to be kept until the morning." We're specifically instructing here about cooking, but it was also an instruction about the fact that the things that needed to be done in advance so that it was not necessary to be working on the Sabbath day ought to be taken care of on Friday. There are all kinds of questions that come up in regard to that. And I don't think that all questions can be answered in terms of specifics. There's always been a controversy about buying and selling, and to what extent would that be allowed on the Sabbath day? Well, I think if we're properly preparing for the Sabbath day, and if we're taking care of the great bulk of those things, then they will all be, by and large, taken care of on Friday. There's also, and I don't regard this as a a way of defining the law, but there is a section in Ezra and Nehemiah where Gentiles were coming into the gate of Jerusalem and setting up on the Sabbath and selling. And the Jews were going down and buying and selling from the Gentiles. And so the question was asked, what about buying and, you know, people who feel it is absolutely forbidden to buy and sell at all on the Sabbath day are citing this one place. I don't think you can find anywhere else, at least I haven't, found anywhere else where buying and selling is specifically forbidden on the Sabbath day. Now, I think the whole spirit and understanding of the Sabbath day is that you don't do the kinds of things that you might be able to do at any other time on the Sabbath day. And if there is some buying and selling which is allowable, it should be done very circumspectly. There should be no customary shopping done on the Sabbath day. I think that's clear. I have one friend here in Estonia who is reluctant to come to Sabbath services because he has to buy a ticket on the bus. So he is circumventing, and I really admire the principle attempt at keeping the Sabbath day, even though I think judgment is lacking in this case. I don't see that, I mean, we're commanded to be here on an assembly. And I don't think that we are to avoid coming because we have to buy a bus ticket. There's some buying and selling of that sort. You know, there it has been cited at times gone by that when we turn the water on, you know, we're buying water from the water system. Or when we have the lights on, we're pulling electric out of the lines and we're buying that sort of thing. I just think those are extreme examples, and I don't think that that's what's being said at all. I personally, and this is my personal opinion, and it's what I personally do, I'm not recommending it to you, nor saying that it is something that you ought to embrace. But this is how I feel about myself personally as far as eating out on the Sabbath day. And the church has made a judgment in the past that it's okay to eat out on the Sabbath day. So I want to let you know that. But I don't feel comfortable about eating out on the Sabbath day, and here's the reason. It has said, bake what you're going to bake, seethe what you're going to seethe, and have that done in advance. So it is forbidding me to do any heavy cooking on the Sabbath day. If I am forbidden to do that sort of heavy cooking, should I then walk into an establishment and hire a waitress and a cooking staff to do that for me, which I am understanding that I am not to do for myself? So that's what I feel, and I think it's been kind of awkward sometimes in the past for some people who wanted to invite me to go out to eat or wanted me to join them in going out to eat on the Sabbath day. So you know where I stand in that regard. I'm not saying that it's where you should stand, but that's my logic behind it. Now, I would also say that there is a distinction, I'd like to point that out here, between the annual Sabbaths, which are the holy days, and the weekly Sabbath, in that it is perfectly fine to be cooking yourself on the Sabbath, on the annual Sabbath, the holy days. The Bible allows for that. I won't go into the scriptures, but they're there in Leviticus chapter 23. It is perfectly fine for you to do that on the Sabbath day, and as I look at it, if it is fine for me to do it on the Sabbath day, on the holy days, then it's also fine for me to hire somebody else to do it for me. Point is here, successful Sabbath keeping begins with being properly prepared. Preparation is a very important specific about how it is we are to keep the Sabbath. I included this section in. I don't know that it relates in particular to, well, it does relate to some people who keep animals in the Buffalo and Elmira churches, and that is the care of animals. The care of animals is allowed on the Sabbath day. We had a big family of McNairs in the church in years gone by, and some of them still are. And I remember one of the McNairs, Carl, telling the story at services about how when they first, and several of them, I guess, several of the boys decided that the Sabbath day was to be kept. And their chores included, and they had not been visited by a minister or anything other than what they had read and studied, maybe heard on the radio, they were convinced that they should not be taking care of the animals on the Sabbath day because it was working. In particular, they had cows that needed to be milked. And so they would kind of hide out, make excuses, avoid taking care of the responsibility until after sundown. And they didn't have the concurrence with their father about this at all. They were in effect completely doing this without informing their father what or why they were doing it. Finally, they were visited by a minister, and the minister told them, "You don't do that. You take care of the cows on the Sabbath day because it's important. You don't want them to be in pain," which I presume a cow who needs to be milked, it gets to be painful. Luke chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. We'll go into the context here, but the context is interesting and important as well. The ruler of the synagogue answered and said with indignation. There's a lot to be said about this. We won't say now. But he said with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed. Not on the Sabbath day. The Lord answered, Christ answered the ruler of the synagogue, and he says, this is the part that's relevant in relationship to the animals. You take care of the animals on the Sabbath day. You hypocrite. Doesn't each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water? Those things which are needful for the animals are, it is appropriate to take care of them on the Sabbath day. Special rules for farmers. And so while you may not be a farmer, as at one time 90% of the people in this country were involved in agriculture, or in the United States were involved in agriculture, now 10% are, you wouldn't be necessarily relating to that, but at least you know what the instruction is, even if it doesn't pertain to you. Cooking. The Sabbath is a feast day. We talked about doing your baking and seething in advance of the Sabbath day, but where the scripture uses the words that it is to be a feast is a feast because you have nice things to eat. Better food than you would during the regular secular days of the week. And as we said, one of the great principles in Sabbath keeping is we picture what is going to be in the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God going to be like in relationship to food? If you've been to the Feast of Tabernacles, you have eaten in a way that is above and beyond what you would normally eat. Some of us may eat too much, even all the rest of the year. But you, if you are going to be picturing what the kingdom of God is like, then you ought to have special food. Because the kingdom of God is going to be a time of abundance, agricultural production, and affluence. And so it says it's a feast day. We should be eating and reflecting that in accordance with what is being said there. Baking and seething, they should be done before the Sabbath day. I look at baking and seething as being heavy cooking, warming, and light cooking. I don't think fall into the category of baking and seething. I make a distinction between those two. So if I'm looking at specifics, I would say for the Sabbath day, get the heavy cooking done on Friday, the preparation day. On the Sabbath, you'll want to warm that food. You'll want to make it more tasty. You will want to maybe do some light cooking for things that didn't need to fall into the category of baking and seething. It just is implicit that God does not want the woman who mostly does the cooking. Not like me being here in Estonia by myself. I do all of the cooking. But the woman normally does most of the cooking, does not want to be the Sabbath day to be a day when the woman is locked in the kitchen. It is to be a time of peace, a time of enjoyment, and a time of spiritual nourishment for her as well. And if we didn't have those rules about not cooking on the Sabbath day, then the woman would be probably locked in the kitchen in many cases. And again, as I said, it says we are to not ourselves be cooking, so they're doing the heavy cooking, and it's my opinion that I don't want to hire somebody to do that cooking for me. Emergencies. The Bible talks about emergencies. What about emergencies? Luke chapter 14 and verses 3 through 5. Since the question about emergencies and what about emergencies that arise on the Sabbath day came up. And here Christ was having one of these exchanges with the lawyers and the Pharisees. And Christ asked this question. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? They shut up. They didn't know how to answer it because they knew he was about to heal somebody and they were on the hot spot. And so they just shut up and didn't say a word. They wouldn't answer. Christ took the individual, healed him, and let him go. And then he set the principle that I am talking to you about right now, having to do with emergencies. He answered them, saying, "Which of you has an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day?" So if you have a legitimate emergency, he's saying, you will take care of that, and you should. He's given his approval to taking care of legitimate emergencies on the Sabbath day. Definition. An ox in a ditch, which has become an idiomatic expression over some period of time, an ox in a ditch occurs when something must be done immediately, lest irreparable damage will occur. And the animal who would fall into the pit would be panicked and would be prone to injure himself, maybe even kill himself, trying to get out of that pit. And so that's the kind of thing that's being described here. It's the principle that's being set. If irreparable damage would occur unless that emergency is taken care of, then okay. Okay. Very few are the situations when an ox falls into a pit. People ask the question, well, what about working in a hospital? Isn't that an emergency situation? There will be emergencies in hospitals, but an ox in a ditch is not something that could be prepared for in advance. And if you're accepting a work schedule which puts you in a hospital on the Sabbath day, then it really doesn't, in my mind, qualify as a legitimate emergency. Other people could take the job and do that. Wouldn't be something that if you were a Sabbath keeper, I would expect that you should do. By contrast, let's say you're somewhere on the street and an automobile accident occurs and there's injury to persons involved. Would it be okay for you then to jump in there and take care of that? Absolutely. That's the kind of thing that, of course, is being anticipated by the Scripture. We had one time when we were in business, I think for 44 years, if I counted it up correctly, we had what I considered to be a legitimate emergency. There was a school where we were removing asbestos. Nobody else could go into that school except people who were certified to do asbestos removal. Over the weekend, a pipe, a 2-inch water pipe, broke in the basement of that school. And it was flooding the basement of the school. I was called at Sabbath services. Now, this is not the kind of thing that could have been planned for. It's not the kind of thing that I could wait until later to take care of. It needed to be taken care of right away. So on that one occasion, I called in the workforce of our company to go in and take care of that problem at Ernie Davis School. But that's the only time in 44 years which I thought we had a legitimate emergency that had to be taken care of, which I thought was falling within the circumstances that are being described here. So, emergencies, that's some of the specific information. Again, you have to adjust it. You have to make judgments to the situations that you encounter. I talked about in the beginning the fact that there are two overall guiding principles I think that I wanted to talk about in relationship to keeping the Sabbath day specifics. The first being that the Sabbath day is a prophetic picturing of the coming of God's kingdom, and we ought to reflect that coming kingdom in our behavior on the weekly Sabbath. Second guiding principle. Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. Here's the principle, really. Christ said to them, of course, there's another one of the situations where he was being confronted, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath, which was made for what? In other words, this Sabbath day was made to guide us and bring us, lead us. It is, I look at it as a gift from God so that we can be directed into, guided into eternal life in His family. It is for us, made for us, therefore. We aren't made to be slaves to it. And so that's the principle. And then in verse 28, he says, "Therefore the Lord, therefore the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath day." So the Sabbath day is a gift to guide us into the kingdom. Christ is, it is saying, the King in the kingdom. We're back up a little bit. This is what he was addressing in part when he made that statement. Verses 23 and 24, "It came to pass, as he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, his disciples began as they went, wandering along, plucking some ears of corn left for the stranger." You know, we talked about gleaning things that were left for the stranger, the fatherless, the widow. Travelers could help themselves to a little bit of it. "And they were hungry, and so they picked some of it, and they ate it." And they were being accused of breaking the Sabbath day because they picked this grain on the Sabbath day. Again, they were rules driven. They were very much rules driven. And so they accused, it was an accusative question that's asked in verse 24. "Pharisees said to him, 'Why do they on the Sabbath day do that which is not lawful?'" It wasn't unlawful to do that on the Sabbath day. They had made rules which made men slaves to the Sabbath day. Here's the principle, this second guiding overall principle. The Sabbath day was made for us. Now, we ought to treat it with the greatest respect, understanding that it is sanctified, but it has been created to serve us and to guide us and to bring us into God's family. And I can ask questions about, okay, what things, if it is to serve us, what things are allowed? You know, is it okay to exercise a little bit on the Sabbath day? I wouldn't say it'd be okay to go into heavy training for marathons or anything like that. But I would say a little bit of exercise may make the Sabbath day more meaningful for you. A modicum, a relatively reasonable amount of exercise may do that. I certainly can go to Sabbath services and get a lot more out of the Sabbath services if I have not become too loggish and sluggish, and if I would do a little bit of exercise in advance of that, it would facilitate the experience which I have at Sabbath services. And so that's the kind of thing where judgment is maybe weightier matter of the law. Not a time for training for team sports or anything like that, but it's not a time to make for an oppression either. The Sabbath day shouldn't be an oppression. The Sabbath day should be joyful and peaceful. Now, for Mason and Jackson, or for Talia, Althea, and Ani, those attitudes towards the Sabbath day, they might be requiring a little more flexibility than for an adult. Sabbath day was made for man. I can't cover all of the specifics. I covered some of the specifics, and God didn't give us all of the specifics. He gave us some of the specifics. He has also given us a responsibility to exercise judgment, to grow spiritually, and to become more dedicated to His way and to build faith through what we learn by exercising that judgment. Our responsibility, in part, is to prophesy to the world about God's coming kingdom, and the specifics of how we keep the Sabbath day are given to us and to a certain measure. And God expects those specifics to be exercised. Two general principles. One, it is a picturing of the coming of God's kingdom. You be faithful to picturing that. And the second is that the Sabbath day was made for man. Keep it according to God's wishes, and don't let it become an oppression.